You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the Kid Counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are looking at another family and nurturing theme, which is actually nurturing theme. So we're under the family and nurturing category, but we are looking at nurturing play theme today. I often equally use caregiving when I'm talking about this theme. So with my therapists at the center and with my trainees that are participating in my groups, I will kind of equally use nurturing theme or caregiving theme, or sometimes say nurturing caregiving. So I kind of have two options there, very similar to the constancy and the permanence. So you can kind of interchange those. They're still the same concept. So nurturing and caregiving theme is always positive nurturing activities where either the child, him or herself, or a character in the play is feeding, holding, hugging, kissing, giving things, helping, taking care of someone else. So it can be taking care of a baby. It can be taking care of an animal. It can be taking care of someone who's sick. It can be any type of nurturing and caregiving activity, but there's always positive feeling associated with it, and you're taking care of someone else. And so the nurturing caregiving play is usually a pretty powerful theme to emerge because it usually emerges later in the process. And what I mean by that is it's rare if a child comes in and works immediately on nurturing or caregiving, because most kids that are upheaved or internally chaotic or carrying around anxiety or anger or whatever it is that they come in with, you really don't feel like taking care of other people when you need to take care of yourself first. So it's Maslow's hierarchy all over again, right? So if I don't feel okay, if I don't feel like I can handle what I have going on, there's really no desire that I have to take care of someone else's needs. So you will often see this as one of the later themes to emerge after they've kind of already worked through some of the heavier, more burdensome things. And then when they're a little bit lighter and freer, then they turn toward this nurturing and caregiving theme. So what might this mean for a child? So if you see nurturing or caregiving theme emerge in play, what does that mean? Why is the child working through that? So more often than not, almost across the board, if a child plays out nurturing or caregiving, they have an extremely strong need for nurturing from others. In other words, I have this deep-rooted need to be nurtured. I want people to caregive for me. So therefore, I will play that out. And it's actually kind of a self-soothing type of thing because they actually have that very strong need themselves. That's what you almost always see. And if you remember back to House Tree Person, we briefly touched on that in an earlier episode. When a child draws an apple tree, it means high need for nurturance. Your apple tree drawers will almost always play out nurturing and caregiving because it's such a high insatiable need for nurturing. And so it manifests itself not only in the drawing, but it also manifests itself in the play theme. So that's so fascinating to me. I still sometimes just marvel at how all of this works and how it's so consistently effective every single time. So if you have a kid that desperately needs nurturing, they will likely play out nurturing. That's just the very standard process. Another option is if a child has been forced to fall into more of a parentification role. So in other words, they have been told they have to take care of their siblings. They have to help do the bottle. They have to help change diapers. They have to watch their kid while mom and dad go in and do something, their kid, brother, or sister, whatever. So if the child has been parentified, they realize that their normal is they get acknowledgement and acceptance and they're valued by taking care of people. So they think that in the play therapy room, it would be the same. So often they will try to gain acceptance from us because they've learned that they gain acceptance from mom and dad when they take on caregiving responsibilities. So that will typically unfold that way. Every once in a while, you'll see a kid actually try to take care of you. So they will nurture and caregive toward you as the therapist. And again, that's almost always when kids have been parentified and they've already been put in those nurturing and caregiving roles prematurely. Another option is they deeply feel that they are missing that nurturing and caregiving. And so they identify with someone that needs nurturing and caregiving, often infants and babies or young animals. And they essentially regress. So they put themselves back in a more infantile state or a regressive state where they are dependent on other people. So obviously, if you put yourself in a fetal position and you curl up and you act as if you're a baby, you need someone to nurture and caregive for you. So they will put themselves in a role where they need to be cared for, and then therefore they're receiving the nurturing and caregiving that they desperately need and want. And remember, you know, infancy and young early years of childhood are the times when you are most cared for and nurtured and protected and everything is done for you. So children associate that as an idyllic state when they desperately need nurturing. So if you have highly attuned kids for nurturing, obviously infancy is going to be the time when that happens the most. So they will usually play out taking care of a baby themselves, and then they will put themselves in the role of the baby so that you will then take care of them. I have a little girl right now. She almost always becomes a puppy. And the puppy needs to be fed and it needs water and it needs to have a bed made for it and it needs to be able to go out and then it needs to go to the vet. And so I have to be the caregiving pet parent and then I have to be the vet that makes the dog healthy again, but it's always a puppy that is in desperate need of nurturing and caregiving. And that we play that out week after week after week. So, and she also has a very high need for nurturance. So as you can see, that maps. So keep in mind, the nurturing and caregiving theme is very, very common. You'll see that with most of your kids, actually, in some capacity. But it definitely has a pretty deep emotional root because they either really, really enjoy caregiving for others, they've been forced to caregive for others, or they desperately need that high level of nurturing. And so one of those scenarios usually plays out in the nurturing and caregiving theme. So I hope that's helpful. I hope you're able to recognize these, identify them, communicate them to parents. All of those things are important. And, you know, our work isn't done in isolation. We have to do what we do in the playroom and then let it carry over into our conversations with parents and our awareness of where they are in the process and keeping them bought in so that they'll continue bringing the child, et cetera, et cetera. So this isn't just, oh, I recognize that theme. Let me note that on my documentation. It's also, what do we do with the theme? And therefore, how do we articulate that to parents? Here's my caveat though. I don't want you to get caught up in, I have to get really good at identifying these themes so that I can then allow that to inform my clinical decision-making. As child-centered play therapists, we change nothing regardless of why the child is playing something out. So if a child plays aggressive theme, if a child plays good versus bad, if a child plays nurturing, if a child plays separation, if a child plays whatever, competence, you throw out the theme, we do nothing differently. We might mentally go, ooh, here's a new theme. We might mentally say, oh, wow, they didn't play that theme out today. Maybe we've wrapped that up. We certainly want to communicate to parents what's going on thematically, but we as child-centered play therapists do nothing different. We don't deviate. We don't allow it to inform anything. We don't allow it to change anything. It doesn't direct us in any new plan. there is always an adherence to the child-centered model, even when we identify themes. So I don't want there to be any misconception. We're not figuring out themes because it's going to change our treatment planning. It's going to influence what we say or do. No, we always, absolute on purpose, fall back on the child-centered tenets, the philosophy, the foundation, the pillars, everything we've learned. All we use themes for is knowing where we are in the process and what we're going to say to parents. Those are the only reasons we care about this. So don't get caught up in themes then influence XYZ. No, they don't. We stay true to CCPT always. And then we use this just so that we have a sense of shifts and progress and how to communicate to parents. So I hope that's helpful. We are about halfway through the family and nurturing themes. So we're getting there. One of these days, we're going to have covered all the themes and you all are going to be theme masters. So this is going to be exciting. Thanks very much for your time each week. I'm grateful to spend a little bit of each week with you. I'm grateful that you listen. I'm grateful that you email me, Brenna@thekidcounselor.com. I'd love to hear from you. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.